Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. Our devotional message for this morning is entitled, Praise God. Okay. It's entitled, You Have Been a Long. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Jeremiah 31 and 25, and it says, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Praise God. Philippians 2, 14 through 15, it says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Amen. And Psalms 40 and 3 says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Again, he says, you have been on a long journey, a long uphill journey, and your energy is almost spent. Though you have faltered at times, you have not let go of my hand. I am pleased with your desire to stay close to me. There is one thing, however, that displeases me: your tendency to complain. You may talk to me as much as you like about the difficulties of the past we are following. I understand better than anyone else stresses and strains that have afflicted you. You can ventilate safely to me, because talking with me tempers your thoughts and helps you see things from my perspective. Complaining to others is another matter altogether. It opens the door to deadly sin, such as self-pity and rage. Whenever you are tempted to grumble, come to me and talk it out. As you open up to me, I will put my thoughts in your mind and my song in your heart. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. Praise God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our show without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome into this sanctuary. To God be the glory. At this time, we are going to say good morning to Father God. Amen. By the Wiki Tones. Good morning, Lord. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed, Evangelist Hilda. How are you this morning?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I just thank God for another day. Amen.
Yes. I'm telling you.
Praise God. I just want to say good morning also to our radio listeners out there. We're so glad to have you on board with us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And we just hope that all is well with you and your family. I just want to let you know that our Apostle Wiggins and his lovely wife, Nadine, they send you their love and their greetings. And they hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. And I just want to thank Evangelist Hilda for her faithfulness to this radio ministry. Amen. That God has raised her up. Amen. And she is very consistent and very faithful. Amen. That she opens up the program from Tuesday to Saturday. Amen. And she brings prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
During the week. And then on either Thursday or Friday, she'll bring a message. Amen. And you don't want to miss Evangelist Hilda. Amen. She bring the message, whatever message that God has for her to bring. Amen. Praise God. And I also want to, Sister Barbara, our host, who's going to be on later on. She's going to be on with some beautiful poetry, and she comes on Wednesday and brings a lesson.
Amen.
And also our First Lady Nadine brings a lesson on Tuesday. Amen.
Praise God.
So you don't want to miss it. Amen. I think it's from 6 to 8. 6 to 8, Evangelist Hilda, in the evening?
7 to 8. Yes, the lesson.
Amen. Praise God. And also, Pastor Cassie will be on with her husband later on with Talk in the Sanctuary. Right after Sister Barbara comes on, then it'll be Talk in the Sanctuary. So you don't want to miss this. Amen. We have a lot of different beautiful topics that we talk about.
Amen.
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 Praise God. And I just want to give a shout out to those people that's been a blessing to this ministry, to Apostle Jackson, Dr. V. Turner, and also Prophetess Washington. That they've been a blessing to this ministry, and I hope that all is well with them and their families and their congregations. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, because God has them working in other places right now. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. So you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to turn to the reason for this program. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to pay our attention to God, our respects to God, the Lord God Almighty, the Most High God.
Exactly.
We're going to give our respect to Him. Amen. Because God likes to be honored, respected, glorified, magnified, worshiped. You know what I'm saying? He likes to be first and foremost in our lives. Mm-hmm. So when we have our program, we don't want to leave. We talk about God, but we want to let him know that we acknowledge him. We acknowledge his presence. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So wherever you are, to any other part of this world, to the four corners of the earth, wherever you are, and you know this God, you know our God, amen, or you're just coming into the kingdom, we all going to come together as one, amen. Yeah. We're going to come together as one body in Christ. Christ is the foundation, amen.
Amen.
So we're going to come together as I say this prayer to Father God. Wherever you are in the four corners of the earth, amen. You could be in any country. I'm not even going to mention them because when you say four corners of the earth, it could be anywhere on this planet.
Anywhere.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So I'm going to say this short prayer. Let us bow our heads while I say this short prayer to Father God, and then I'm going to sing a song to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Father God, Most High, we thank you. We give you the highest praise, for you are worthy of all honor and glory. We glorify and magnify you. May we love you always, Lord. May we walk with you in the secret place. May we put you first and foremost in our lives. May we obey you and remember all that you've done for us. May we learn who you are and never forget the power of your might. May we continually focus our eyes on Yeshua and reverence his holy name. May we always be led by his spirit and not by the flesh. May we always maintain an intimate and personal relationship with you, Father God, Most High. May we not forget the unconditional love that you have for us. And even though some of us do not return your love or believe that you exist, you reign on the just as well as the unjust, and you are no respecter of persons. We thank you for Yeshua and his shed blood. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the consuming fire. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the angels, the warring angels, our guardian angel, and we thank you for our enemies, those that despitefully use us, those that backbite against us, Father. We thank you for them, Father God. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm going to sing a song to Father God. And you might know some of the song. Amen. You might know some of it. But if you don't know the song, just listen to the words of the song. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ahaya is God's name that is forever. Amen. Ahaya means I am that I am. And Ahaya is spelled A-H-A-Y-A-H. It's God's forever name, Ahaya. Amen. So I'm going to sing a song to Ahaya. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Ahaya, Ahaya, I love you and I need your care. Ahaya, Ashur, Ahaya, you are my God, and you've always been there. You are the joy and the strength of my life. You rule all things, misery and strife. You promise to keep me, never to leave me. You never, never come short of your word. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way, keeping my life clean every day. A higher, I'm calling on you to see me through. A higher, I'm calling on you. I'm calling on you. God is the joy and the strength of my life, removes all things, misery and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me, never, never comes short of his word. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way, keeping my life clean every day. A higher, a higher, I'm calling on you to see me through. A higher, a higher, I'm calling on you to see me through. You are my joy. You are my peace. You are my all and all. Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful.
He is our joy and he is our peace. Amen.
Amen.
And we want to get God's name right, because if you say the wrong names, it has to do with demonic forces. And we don't want to give devil the credit. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to give the devil the credit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be calling a name that belongs to the devil. Amen. Praise God. We want to give God the credit.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We can do it in ignorance, and it's been going on for generations. But we're getting to know better now. So we don't want to give the devil credit. Amen. Praise God. We don't want to give him no power.
None.
No power.
None whatsoever.
Praise God. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today. And as I say this short prayer, you can get your pens, your papers, and your Bibles out if you choose to do so. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, Most High, I just thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today. Amen. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as I go forth today, Father God, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, May it be all of this of the Holy Spirit and none of me. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now, my scripture reading for today is coming from Psalms 91, and it's from 1 to 12. Psalms 91 from 1 to 12.
Amen.
And it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, neither for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, and keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Amen.
Amen.
So we just thank God for that powerful, powerful word, that powerful scripture. Amen. We thank God for that powerful scripture. Isn't that some beautiful scripture? Amen.
Amen.
To know God, that God is your refuge.
Mm-hmm.
You see, He is our refuge. He is our fortress, and He is our protection. You can't get much better than that. Amen.
Amen.
Can't get much better than that. So my title for today is God is our refuge and He is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock of our salvation. In the Bible, there's a certain verse of scripture that says, "And the rocks will cry out." Have you ever thought about the rocks and what they are made of? What did God mean when He said, "And the rocks will cry out"? When you look at rocks, they just look like dirt. They look like trash, rubbish, or debris. When in fact, there is centuries and generations of people, mammals, creatures, fowls, and birds, fish, whales, and let's not forget the dinosaurs, all in that rubble. Archaeologists have dug up and uncovered dinosaurs, all different kind of fossils.
Mm-hmm.
All these bones have a memory of their creator. These bones are the essence or substance of someone or something. And these bones have a memory, like I said before, of their creator, God the Most High, the Almighty. God knows this, and that's why He said, "And the rocks will cry out." He knew that these dried up, crumbling fossils would and could identify Him as their creator throughout the ages. You know why they cry out? They cry out in respect of who God is. That's why they cry out. In this day and time, some of us have lost respect for our Creator. And who is He? And who He is? Some of us don't want to know Him. We don't want to know who God is. Or we don't want to have nothing to do with God. Some of us don't want to have nothing to do with God. Some of us think that we can make it on our own without God, the Most High. So, but in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26, it says that there is no one like the God of Israel. There is no one like Israel's God. Amen?
Amen.
He rides across the heavens to help you. Amen? Israel is God's chosen people. But this also applies to all those today that have come into His kingdom, the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Israel and us and the Gentiles also are Abraham's seed. Amen?
Amen.
All those who are in Christ and those that haven't come into God's kingdom yet, who are eventually going to be coming into God's kingdom, are God's chosen people. Amen? God's chosen people. In verse 27, it says that the eternal God is your refuge. He's your refuge. And in 28, it says that you will live in safety and security. When you're under God's kingdom, when you're under His wings, His feathers, God protects you. You're in safety and security. And it says that you are blessed. You see? And under the protecting shield and triumphant sword, indicating that He has never lost a battle. And God has never lost a battle. Amen?
Amen.
There is an invisible shield around you when you're in God's kingdom. He shields you in times of trouble. I've seen plane crashes with many people aboard, and one person survives a plane crash. All the rest got killed. And a lot of times it could be because God has that saving power to shield you, even in the worst trouble, the worst circumstances, or the worst disasters. You come out. You know what I mean? Maybe you came out without a scratch. I'm going to tell you something that came to me years ago with my brother. My brother was in Christ. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
My brother jumped off the platform of a train. You know, the train was coming?
Yes.
And he jumped off the platform. I guess he was committing suicide.
Oh, man.
Do you know that he didn't get a scratch?
Of course not.
He jumped off, but he went into, like, there was a pocket in the railing of the train. You know, it was underground.
Yes.
And I've forgotten about this story till I came to this, because, you know, it's been so many years.
Yes.
And he didn't get a scratch.
Wow.
He was in Christ.
God was with him.
But he jumped off that platform. The train was coming. That train went right over him and didn't crush him or anything.
Mm.
He lived for many years later. The train never crushed him.
Mm.
That's a testimony.
Amen.
To show you how God can protect
God
you.
Yes, He will.
You know, if He wants you to live, He can protect you from the worst disasters.
Amen.
Even the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Amen. God can protect you.
Yes. Yes.
People are running around with this coronavirus and everything, but that's nothing to God. He can protect you from that if he chooses to do so. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
If he chooses to protect you, mm-hmm. there's nothing going to happen to you.
Nope.
Amen?
Nothing
Praise
at all.
God. So it's by his saving power of Christ, the enemy and your enemies have been put under your feet. Because when Christ died on the cross, the enemy devil was put under our feet. Amen. He was put under our feet. In Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 30, Moses recites this entire song publicly to the assembly of Israel. In Moses' song to the Israelites, Moses reminds them of the days long ago when the Most High God created them. He made them and established them. You see, God made them and established them. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, we find that God assigned lands to the nations when he divided the human race. He established the boundaries of the people according to the number of his heavenly court. In verse 9, it says that the people of Israel belonged to God. Jacob was God's special possession. God made them in the desert because he had founded them in the desert where there was a howling wasteland. It was a howling wasteland where God found the Israelites. He surrounded them, watched over them like an eagle. He hovered over them like he does us today. He spread his wings over them because they was in a howling wasteland. Mm-hmm. In verse 12, it says that God alone guided them and they followed no foreign gods. You see, I believe that they were so glad for God to rescue them that they didn't look at any other gods. They was just following after God the Most High. It was following after a higher. You see? So I know that God was happy with this. Because, you know, when you put God first, you know how God is. He loves it when you put him first.
Amen.
Amen. So they was putting God first and foremost in their lives because they was happy to get that refuge, to get that protection from him, you know, of where they were in this howling wasteland. Mm-hmm. It was in this howling wasteland. So it says in verse 12, it says that God alone guided them and they followed no other gods. See, they didn't follow any other gods. And Israel depended solely on God, the Most High. He was their God, and they was his people. And you see that a lot throughout Scripture. He always said, I am their God, and they are my people. They are my children. You see? At that time, there were other people in the world. You see? There were other people in the world, but God was over Israel. But the other people in the world was the pagans, the heathens, and the Gentiles. Amen. They were under another God. They were under another God. Satan, the fallen angel. That's who they were under. It was under Satan. Amen.
Amen.
So God was so overjoyed with Israel that he let them ride the highlands. He blessed them with the use of his mighty power. He blessed them. They feasted on the crops of the field. God nourished them with honey from the rock and olive oil from the stony ground. He fed them yogurt from the herd and milk from the flock, together with the fat of lambs, choice rams and goats. See how happy God was? Israel enjoyed the choicest wheat, and they drank the finest wine made with the juice of grapes. This is what God does even today. When you please him, you find favor in his eyes.
Amen.
And now I want to show you the contrast of how God went from the favor to the disfavor of his chosen people, Israel. So I'm going to stop here, and next week I'm going to talk about the contrast. Amen. Today was the favor of God. Next week is going to be the contrast. Amen.
Amen.
So I hope you enjoyed this up to this point today, and I now turn it over back into the hands of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise be to God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap praise. At this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry. And following that, Apostle Mother Wiggins will be back with the call to salvation and the benediction. So we are going to welcome Barbara with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How were you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you all doing?
Blessed, thank
blessed.
You.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's one of my favorite scriptures, Mother, you know, Psalm 91.
Amen.
That's a powerful scripture, right? Many blessings out of that one, and comfort and just love. Thank you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read The Profundity of God, a book. The poem is entitled, God's Gonna Turn It Around.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible. Right now, I need a turnaround. Lord knows I can't do this by myself. I've tried, Lord. God knows I've tried. But nothing seems to totally dispel it. I prayed, fasted, and waited. Yes, I've repented too. I've been patiently waiting, Lord. Lord, patiently waiting on you. You have heard my petition. You've heard my prayers. Yes, God, I know that. I've been praying for a long, long time. I've denied myself so many meals missed, yet all to no avail. And, Lord, you can fix this. Is it in vain, dearest Lord? My waiting, is it in vain? You, Lord, are my only hope. I can't afford to give up. I will never stop believing. Without you, perish the thought. I would go insane. I've come too far to turn back now. Please, Lord, hold me. Hold my trembling hand. I declare and decree, Abba Father, Lord Jesus, from the bottom of my heart, please help me, your child, your daughter, from my mouth to your ears, my Lord and my Savior. Now, and you know it, right here. I could really use a turnaround. Amen.
Amen.
That was beautiful. That was
Thank
beautiful.
You
know, God, like you said, God can make the impossible possible.
Yes,
He can. It looks like something impossible. But He can make the impossible possible. That's what He does. That's beautiful, because I know there must be many people that's crying out to God, you know what I mean, wondering, well, where are you, Father, you know what I mean?
Yes,
and
yes.
You said this, and you said that, and I haven't seen nothing happening yet. But He can make the impossible possible, and, you know, sometimes He has the timing of when this is going to be done, you know.
That was
a beautiful poem.
That's true. And that's just like part of Mother's message this morning, like God can take anything and turn it around for your good, you know, as long as you ask Him and pray to Him, because He is our salvation. I mean, we can't get anything without Him.
He
makes sure that He covers us in any and every opposition, position, whatever the case may be. You know, He's always there for us too. If we're sad, He lifts us, our spirits up, and make us happy. You know, and He guides it. Like if you have a question and you want His an answer from Him, He will lead you right into the chapter, the scripture, the verse, and just when you get to it and you start to read, like Psalms 91, oh my goodness, it just lifts you up and take care of you and provide you with everything that you need. The same way He took care of the Israelites, it's the same way He's taking care of us today.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, so that's those true. Two, they just go right together.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Amen.
You for that, because I tell you, I pray that everybody that's listening today, that they get, you know, an uplift from what was said this morning, the salvation, that God is the rock of our salvation, and that, you know, God can take any situation and turn it around.
Thank you for our good.
You
turn around for our good.
Absolutely.
You know? And a lot of times we can't see what He's going to do. You know what I mean? Because His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. So what He does, when He does turn it around, you can't believe what He does. How He does it, you know.
Absolutely.
You said, wow, I don't know how He did this, but it's done.
And we don't always know the outcome, but
that's
we know
that's
that
right.
while it's happening, while we're going through it, that He's with us.
Yeah,
so that's right.
That should bring a calmness to the situation, knowing that whatever happens, whether it's what I want or, you know, what He wants, and it's always what He wants, but what He wants sometimes lines up with what we want. So we don't know what it's going to be, but because we believe in Him, we have our salvation and our hope and our love in God, we know it's going to be all right. We just have to hold on, ask Him to hold on to our trembling hand, because we're lost.
He can make it. That's right. Yeah. When you say hold on, I'm thinking about God's unchanging hand. Remember that song? Hold on to God's unchanging hand, because He doesn't change, you know, but He makes the changes.
Yes,
He don't change, but He makes the changes. Amen.
Amen.
So right now, I'm getting ready to, this is for those that want to come into God's kingdom today, and we are going to be so glad to have you into His kingdom today. Amen. God knows who you are, and He knows how many there is out there. So if you want to become a part of God's kingdom, all you have to do is repeat this word after me. Amen.
Amen.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Yeshua, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Yeshua, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Now, if there's any of you out there that have said this short prayer, we welcome you again into the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And we're rejoicing, and we know that all heaven is rejoicing over you.
Amen.
When you said that short prayer, the Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. If you don't have a church home, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place.
Yes.
Where you can hear the word, where you can mature and grow, and that you can have fellowship with other believers. Again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, it's a call to holy living. So
mm-hmm.
think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Christ is revealed to the world. Amen.
Amen.
So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And now, at this time, we are going to welcome our very own Pastor Kathy Dubos from Led by God's Christian Ministry with our talk in the sanctuary. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, God bless you, dear heart. I'm doing a little better. Can you hear me a little clearer?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, bless the Lord.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, when this condition is gone, I'm going to jump, shout, roll around.
I'm a helper.
Look, be thankful I got my mouth back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
praise
my goodness.
God.
Yesterday I went to visit the grandkids. And
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, I love to talk and kiss and hug. My grandson went to kiss. I said, ooh, hold on. Quick draw. My man was running so bad, I couldn't even let him kiss me.
Oh,
yes, ma'am.
But he could have kissed you on the cheek.
Well, I tried, but he's used to how I do, because he used to do me that way. He
mm-hmm.
comes to me and turn his face to the side, and I go, oh, I'm going to kiss your lips. I'm going to kiss your lips. Now he like, oh, I don't kiss your lips. Oh, my goodness. That's one of those train up a child. That kid was trained, honey. I said, oh, no, not my lips. Not my lips. But he just had to go there. But I still enjoy being with them. And then my daughter-in-law surprised us. She cooked pot roast and noodles. Italian noodles or something.
And
I
how
went
did
to
you eat
the
that?
Noodles. Look, I went to eat it.
Mm.
I said, okay, Jesus, no.
Mm.
So I turned and gave it to Stephen. I said, I can't. She said, nothing spicy. I said, oh, my God, I can't eat nothing right now. My mouth is on fire.
Wow.
We still got to visit. Now, I think I know what the problem is. They said there's some nerve damage there, you know, because of the heat and the excessive dryness in the air.
Yes.
My thing is, nobody ever told me that you could be inside a building in Arizona and the dryness still find you.
Yeah, because Arizona is so hot. I don't even know how people can stand that heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I thought if you was in the building, you were safe.
Mm-mm.
You know, so it would not get you. But somehow the air conditioner is pulling in, it's still dry.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
But that's okay, because I know this too shall pass.
Yes, it will.
I think a little quicker than it's passing.
All in God's time.
It will pass. I'm assured that. But anyway, we bless God for another Saturday morning. Thank God it's a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
And the little raspy.
It's cool.
They have started their the season for basketball and everything.
Mm.
So they're like,
that's where you are?
No, that's where I'm on my way to, but I'm gonna do plug two. Then I'm gonna go. Woo. My goodness, because they made me miss my special Saturday.
Oh yeah,
take a communion. I can't. I can't do that every time. Can you imagine if I continue to go to the games, and I love my family dearly, go to the games or go to work and do other things that's pressing on my schedule, and not, if you will, not go to church, not go to Bible study, not go to Sunday school, the condition I would be in, I would be in worse condition than I am now.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
I would have nothing that's given me a hope and an assurance that
this too
shall pass.
Thank you.
And wallow in that pain and go, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to go to work. I can't do nothing. Because I wouldn't have that IV in my veins.
Come on, man.
The nutrients that I need to keep going. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, whenever I start taking in God's word so that I can give it out, these are the nutrients I'm talking about that I get through his word to keep me going. So some people do this, and I don't know why they do it, but when they're going through, those are the times when they don't go to church, they don't, you know, they don't want to be bothered, they don't want to hear the word, they just going through. I ain't going through on my own.
No,
not
by myself.
I'm going through with Jesus.
Yes.
Look, if I'm going through, I'm going to be holding on to his hand, and he going to walk me through.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's right.
I tell you, when I was aching and I was in pain and I was a young girl, I knew, like, I go there and lay right in my mama's lap. And she go, what's wrong with you? Because she trying to watch her favorite show that she hasn't seen all week or something because she been working. One little moment to herself, and here I come.
Yeah.
Laying on her lap. And she, what's wrong with you? She like, oh, God, can I have one moment, please? Because you figure she has six girls, and she was going to work, and she was doing all this stuff for us. So when she got her moment, she really needed her moment because she didn't get very many of them. So she's sitting there, and here I come, Lana. What's your father? What you doing? I don't feel good. I want to be with you. Why? Because I need someone to help me get through. Because if nothing else, he's going to keep whispering to me, you're going to be okay. Everything is fine. Okay? This is only going to happen for a minute. Just bear through it. Press down and get going. You know, so she's whispering those things to me, but I needed to hear it from her because I knew she believed that. Oh, my goodness, that's good. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you because you woke us up, clothed in our right mind, divine healings within our bodies, oh God. You saw fit to allow us to see another day, and for that we say thank you. We honor you, oh God. We glorify your holy name just for being who you are in all of your glory. We say thank you. You are everything we need whenever we need anything. And so for that, we say thank you. Whatever we stand in need of, you are that thing. You become the healing. You become the deliverer. You become the love. You become the friend. You become that ear. You become everything we need whenever we need it. And so for that, we say thank you. Now, Father God, as we go into this talk hour, we invite your presence and ask you to have your way on this line, that everything that gets spoken in love. There will be clarity. There will be understanding. No one will be offended. And if they are, please, oh God, let us get through the offense and know that it was not intentional. We love you. Yeah. We honor you. We adore you. Have your way in this hour right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. God bless all of you guys. All of you guys this morning online, thank God for you. I tell you, I got a couple of really good questions for all of us. Y'all hear me? I said for all of us. Mm-hmm. Not just for you guys, for me too. I got to participate too. I think I fixed my Bluetooth, but I ain't sure, so I ain't going to put it on because then it'll bleep, 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 just take me on out. But anyway, good morning to all of you guys. Hope everybody's doing well. I trust it's a good, good, good morning for everybody.
It's a good morning for me because I woke up.
All right now. And Mother, how about you? I know it's a good morning for Mother.
Yeah, it's a good morning for me. Amen.
Amen.
Mother going to find God's goodness in everything, so I know it's a good morning for her. That's why she's the mother of the line, because she finds God's goodness.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Every Saturday, it's a struggle to get on the line. Every day.
Yes. It is.
Woo! But thank God that he helps me to do what I have to do, you know.
Amen.
Every Saturday, it's like something's fighting against me, you know. Every Saturday, I go through something.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I can attest to what you're going through because I ain't lying. Even if the kids didn't have a game on Saturdays like my mother, that's my moment. I get to sleep in till 10, 11 o'clock. But oh no, I'm in a time difference. It's 8 o'clock here with Miss Vanessa going there. So I have got to get up and I'm going, oh God, help me, Jesus. But every single Saturday, he pops open my eyes right before it's time for me to get up. And I'm going, okay, let me get up and get going and get your questions organized. So I thank God because, you know, the spirit is willing, even though the flesh is not.
It's weak.
The spirit is willing. And because the spirit is willing, the spirit is going to make sure you're able to do what the spirit is willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that good? That's good stuff right there. Ooh, yes, Lord. My goodness. Okay, here we go. Okay, wait, hold on.
Hello.
Is Sister Barbara on the line?
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that we have to acknowledge my co-host, Sister Barbara's on the line.
Okay, excuse me. Yep. I'll get ready to get started. And see, even if you didn't say that, the Holy Ghost said acknowledge other people that are on the line. So I just wanted to take a second and go, wait a minute, is so-and-so on the line or so-and-so, anybody else on the line? So I heard you say Sister Barbara's on the line. Sister Barbara, God bless you, dear heart. How are you this morning?
Good morning. God bless you. I'm blessed and highly favored. Glad to be alive and breathing.
Yes.
Glory to God.
I am
steps to that.
Hallelujah.
You know, I hear a whole bunch of laughter and shouts this morning. God is sitting here smiling. You know why he's smiling? Because he's looking down on all of us going, look what they're going through, and they all still smiling and shouting and laughing and giving hallelujahs. They are not letting what they're going through or what they're feeling stop them. And some of us may not be healing anything. We're just in a hallelujah moment. But either way, he is okay when you don't feel your very best that you still send out a hallelujah to him. In fact, he loves it. He said, wow, wow. Huh? She mustered up the strength to get that hallelujah out. And we know hallelujah is the highest praise. Well, God bless you, Sister Barbara. Welcome to all of you guys that are on the line. Anybody else? Anybody else? Evangelist Zilda?
No, Brother Jake didn't come this morning.
Okay, God bless. Okay. Here we go. The first question is, if God, and we're going to give this one to Sister Barbara, Evangelist Hilda, then Apostle Mother Wiggins, in that order. The question is, if God purposed for Judas to set Jesus up, should we be mad at Judas?
If God's purpose
for Judas to set Jesus up, because somebody had to set him up so he could get to the cross, right? So if he purposed for Judas to be the one, and we know that he purposed it because Jesus already knew who was going to set him up.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, okay, let me say this. Remember in the Bible when it says, and it's in, I want to say where Isaiah is. It may not be there, but I'll look it up and let you guys know another time. And he says, I need somebody to go lie to so-and-so. And the person stood up and said, I'll do it. I'll lie to him. So that's the same situation here. He purposed for someone, and that someone turned out to be Judas, but he purposed for someone to turn Jesus in so he could be taken to the cross. So if God purposed for Judas to take Jesus to the cross, should we be mad at him? Or better yet, let me put it this way. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me put it this way. If God uses you to do something that's not so nice and everybody's going, God ain't going to use me to do something that's not so nice, sometimes he will. Sometimes you got to go rebuke somebody. Come on now. He's going to use you to do some things that are not so nice. Not so nice, right? When he's telling you to go tell this person, don't do this, don't do that, it's not so nice. Right? So when you hear not so nice, don't think that he wants you to go hurt someone or something. No, it's just not so nice. Now, but Judas was a whole nother story. So again, you got to look at that whole situation and go, if God's purpose for Judas to set Christ up, should we be mad at him?
Okay, so a lot of people look at it that, you know, it was Judas's idea, but God in his wisdom sent Jesus for that very purpose. So I was reading something the other day, and it said that God killed his son. God allowed his son to be killed. So to answer your question, we don't like what Judas did, but even Jesus said, for him to, you know, stop taking the Last Supper and go and do what you're supposed to do. So he allowed that spirit to enter into him. Amen. Mm-hmm. So it was just the will of God. And if we want to be mad with the will of God, then, you know, we can be mad with Judas, but it wasn't his own evilness that caused him to do it. It was a divine intervention that transpired probably even before he was born. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Hilda?
Yes. And that, no, we should not be mad at Judas, because all of that was in God's will and his purpose. And like Sister Barbara said, Judas was that spirit was already put in him as before he was even born, because Judas was a greedy man. You know, he was selfish. He was only thinking about himself. So if he didn't betray Jesus, then we wouldn't have salvation through Jesus Christ. So God had to send, in order to save the human race, he had to send his son to down to earth, and he had to have someone to betray him in order for him to go to the cross so that he would be, you know, crucified and we would be saved.
Amen. God bless you. And just so you know, and I'm talking about anybody, if it wasn't Judas, it would have been somebody. Apostle Mother Wiggins, what's mm-hmm. your thought, dear heart?
Yep.
Well, I'm thinking about how the Lord used the devil with Job. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. if the Lord used the devil with Job, mm-hmm. you know, when he had sent the devil down to test Job out. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Where Job lost a lot of his family, and he lost a lot of things. I think that God can see what's in us and what's in our hearts. You know what I mean? Like Evangelist Hilda said, probably from the time he was born, that Judas had something. There was something not good in him, some kind of greed or evil. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And the Lord mm-hmm. detected it. He knew that he had this evil in him. You know what I mean? And maybe it was meant to be. That was meant to be. You know what I mean? Because he had to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. He had 12 disciples, but one of them was betrayed him. And that he was the one picked to betray him because he had this evil and everything inside of him. And so I really believe he was handpicked for what was going to happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know if I should say that I should be angry with him mm-hmm. because Jesus had to go to the cross. You know, he had to go to the cross. Otherwise, nothing would have happened if he didn't go. And he didn't cover our sins, you know. We wouldn't have had the new covenant of grace. Right. So I don't know. That's a very hard kind of a question, you know, whether we should be angry with him. You know what I mean? This was probably the way he really was. You know what I mean? If he was born like that, he was evidently handpicked to do whatever he was supposed to do. You know,
exactly.
He was supposed to, everything that happened was supposed to happen so that Jesus can be crucified. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And on top of that, Pastor Kathy, can I say something? On top of that,
yes.
at the Last Supper, Judas couldn't even eat the bread of life, you know, of Christ. He couldn't eat the bread nor drink the wine because why? In the spirit that was inside of him, he had to go right away. So he didn't even get to take the bread or when he ate the bread, he spit it out because it was sour in his stomach. So mm-hmm. that's when he had to go and do what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He probably wasn't worthy. Excuse me. Could I say something there? Maybe he wasn't worthy to eat that bread. That's why he spit it out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What was inside of him?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to wheel y'all back in for a little bit. Whether he was worthy or not, we don't really, that's not the question right now. The question right now is, should we be mad at him? That's the question. But, I've heard some really good stuff right now, and I'm here to tell you that. Oh, I'm trying to get to all of everything I heard. Let me go back to Mother. Mother said she was thinking about when the devil, God told the devil
mm-hmm.
to take Job on. Well,
mm-hmm.
this question is not pointed at the devil. It's pointed at his operation through Judas. Okay? Mm-hmm. There is a huge difference between should we be mad at the devil and should we be mad at Judas, because all of us have sinned because of the devil. But where we would be mad at the devil, we are not mad at the person. Right? God doesn't hate the person. Okay. He hates the sin.
Right.
True.
Okay, so you can't compare Judas with the devil, because that's a whole nother ballpark. Right? Judas was human like us. Satan is spirit like Christ, so that's a whole nother ballpark. We can be mad at the devil, but we shouldn't, in my mind, we shouldn't be mad at the person. Why? Why? Because we all have sinned. Judas, in that time, he sent Christ to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He still had the ability to be forgiven.
Yes.
He just didn't forgive himself. Right? True. He didn't forgive himself. In fact, if you look at it, he had remorse. He was so sad he couldn't even take advantage of the money they gave him.
No, he threw it back at them.
In fact, he killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some remorse there for what he did. And that's what God looks for in all of us. Yes, we're going to take him to the cross again, and we do that when we sin. Because that's what Judas did. We do that when we sin. We take him back to the cross. It's like we're making him pay the price over and over again. Because we continue to do the thing that he paid the price. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Here's the thing. When you go to the store and you buy that pair of shoes, Kathy, you buy that pair of shoes, you give them the money, you go in the car. Do you go back in the store and say, oh, here's another 20 for the shoes? Oh, here's another 20 for the shoes, and keep paying for the same thing over and over again? No. You got what you wanted. You paid for it. It's a done deal. It's not like that with Christ. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He did what he wanted to do. He came to pay the price for our sins.
Right.
But it doesn't mean he got what he wanted. He did what he had to do, or what he wanted to do, to pay the price for our sins. Did he get what he wanted? No, because he's still trying to get it. That means everyone has not turned away from sin, even the ones that have come in. They still haven't turned away. They're still doing some things that he's not pleased with, right? But his thing was, I'm going to pay the price to give you a way out. Whether you take that way, it's going to be your choice, but I'm going to give you a way out, okay? So my thing is, I look at that question, I go, wow, God, that's a good question. No, we shouldn't be mad at Judas at this.
Nope.
How I feel, this is Pastor Kathy's thought. I don't believe that we ought to be mad at Judas no more than we should be mad at the thief, no more than we should be mad at the liar, no more than we should be mad at the adulterer. It's all sin, it's all wrong. And not to mention, if it wasn't Judas, it would have been someone else, because Christ had to get to that cross.
Yes.
Can I say something there?
Yes, ma'am.
I believe that he was the only one that had that inside of him like that. You know, when we look at Judas, we look at him as the betrayer. He betrayed Christ. He wasn't loyal. Wasn't loyal to him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He betrayed him.
But what I'm saying is, if Judas didn't have that spirit in him, someone else would have had that spirit, because someone had to get him pointed out so he could get to the cross. I know because he's God, there will never, ever only be one. Whatever God's purpose is, he will always have someone else to do. If you don't do it, or you don't do it, or you don't do it, it will get done. Someone will do it. Judas just happened to be the one that was chosen to do it. And was he born like that? We all was born with sin, right? That's why we got to be born again.
Yes.
But the thing is, Judas was born with a purpose that wasn't favorable to men, right? They didn't enjoy what he did.
No.
Right? And guess what? Even now, when we do stuff, we ought not to enjoy seeing one another in sin. We ought not to.
No, we're not.
Right? We ought not to enjoy seeing one another in sin because Christ is not happy when we're in sin. He doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to live.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And in order for us to live, he had to die.
Right.
So should we be mad at Judas? No. We should be mad at the spirit that was operating in Judas. We could be mad at that. But not at Judas, because Judas really had remorse. Everybody needs to look at the rest of the story. He couldn't even enjoy the money or enjoy anything that came after that. So he took his own life.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people now, when they sin, they cannot handle the fact that they have sinned. Their conviction level is so high that they just destroy their own self because they're convicted. Right? I'm leery of the person that doesn't have any conviction within them. You know, if you're able to do stuff and you don't feel convicted, that bothers me. That you're not convicted at all that you did wrong, because you got people out there doing wrong and they don't feel convicted.
Nope.
Huh?
They don't.
They don't see that they've done wrong.
Mm-mm.
And here's the thing,
eyes,
I might have been
right.
one of those people, I don't see the key. I might have been one of those people that I did wrong, and I didn't think I did wrong, and I was cool with it. But when I came into the knowledge of who God was, and even though I didn't recognize sin, the Holy Ghost within me pointed it out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, why you say that? Go back and apologize. Kathy, why you do that? Go fix that. And I'm going, okay, what is that going on? Is that my conscience?
Yes.
And then when I came into the knowledge of what I received when I accepted Christ, when I got baptized, when I gave my life to Christ, I received his spirit that was going to direct my path.
Path, that's right.
And let me know when I'm doing right and when I'm doing wrong. I got him. And so I'm like, whew, God, I got them. I said, God, this is awesome. This is awesome. So that was the first question. And the answer, I honestly believe that we should not be mad at Judas. He was there for a purpose, and if it wasn't Judas, it would have been Billy or Sally or whoever it was going to be.
Or any one of the others?
Because he needed someone to get him to the cross.
Yes.
It is not the same as when the devil taking on God's people, because the devil is in a whole nother realm. He is not a human being, right? All humans have the ability to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to be forgiven, they can be forgiven. Right?
Hello?
Sister Barbara, have a question.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Yes, I wanted to add something. We were talking about how Judas Iscariot was evil all along. No, he was not. Jesus chose him. He wasn't evil when he was chosen. And it says in Luke 22, I just read a portion of it. Luke 22 and 2 and 3. And the chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12. So the devil entered him when the priests were looking for someone to betray Jesus. So he wasn't always that way.
Did I say something there?
And then I looked for the part at the Last Supper when Jesus told Judas to go on and do what he was supposed to do, meaning you had this assignment, and not go on and betray me as it has been established for you to do. Amen?
Could I say something there? Could I say something right there?
Yes.
The devil only enters you if there's something that he can use inside of you, like when you open yourself up. That's when the devil will enter into you. If there was nothing there, the devil wouldn't have entered in.
But that was an assignment. That was a sign for that to happen to Judas.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, evidently he had some kind of evil inside of him for the devil to enter in. Because
it
if you...
It doesn't say that.
But I'm telling you, if you don't,
the devil
doesn't enter into anybody unless there's something there that he can use. When you open yourself up, you're doing something wrong. The devil will enter into you, or you're thinking something.
Okay, can I say something?
Yeah.
You're both right. Okay. You're both right. It was an assignment. And it was assignment that was chosen for Judas to fulfill because of what was in him. He already had a greedy desire. He wasn't caring about what he had to do. He was looking at the money he was going to make or the silver pieces, whatever. So it was in him. That's why he could have been used to betray Christ. So both of you are right. It was an assignment, and it was assigned to him because of what was in him. He would have taken on the assignment because of what was in him. So you're both right. Yeah. And it seems like Satan was using him. Psych! God was using him at that time.
Right.
God was using him because Satan didn't want Christ to go to no cross. Do you think for 1 minute that he would have let him go to the cross knowing how many people he was going to save in the process? No, that ain't his desire. He want to kill, steal, and destroy. And the other thing is that when someone says that, I think in the beginning someone said that the devil didn't kill God or something like that. The thing is, and it might have been Evangelist Hilda, I don't know. The thing is, the devil can't kill God. Look what he said to Pilate. He said, you can't take my life. I give it to you.
Right.
So in other words, I purpose for this to happen. I have plans because I need to save the people. And that's it. So that was that part of the question. And it was a good, good question.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank God for, well, at least we know now for all the people that may have been upset with little Judas to let it go. Because you say, wow, Judas had remorse. He was still human. He had something in him that said, I did the wrong thing. Can you imagine if we do something wrong now and everybody stays mad at us because you did wrong and you know Christ? Or, come on now. We all do wrong. And we do know Christ.
Yes.
So my thing is, no, we shouldn't be. How many of you, and all I want is a yes or no because we're going to move on to the next question. How many of you agree that we should be mad at Judas or disagree we should not be mad at Judas?
I disagree.
Who said they disagree?
Evangelist Hilda.
The only reason I said it is because I'm in a store and I couldn't hear. Okay, so Evangelist Hilda disagreed. Mother, do you agree that we should be mad at him or we shouldn't be?
Well, if you look at it like what you're saying, I agree that, you know, it's not him, it's his spirit or whatever. Only thing is he felt bad about it, but he didn't repent. That's it.
Okay, so Sabara, should we be mad at him or not?
No.
Amen. Okay,
Well, you know what? We're all entitled to our opinion. There's no right or wrong answer. And if there is, only God can say which one is the right answer, which one is the wrong. But
that's
my
right.
opinion, we should not be mad at him. Mm-hmm. We should not. He has the ability to be forgiven, or he had the ability to be forgiven just like the rest of us. So I don't think we should have been, should be mad at Judas. In fact, we should be saying, thank you, God, that he got to that cross.
Exactly.
So, but that's, yeah. So, and like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just.
And may I just add one other thing that I think Mother said he didn't repent. He compounded the sin and that he committed suicide so that he couldn't repent after that, after taking his own life. Amen.
Amen.
That was good. Amen.
Amen.
That was good. So let's just make sure we all understand, because guess what? Judas, that Judas is gone, but there's still others running around now.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to be mad at that Judas,
then you had to be mad at all of them.
Judas is in the world today. Mm-hmm. And if you're mad at the Judas in the world today, then how can you be used by God? Because that means that you don't forgive. But anyway, here comes the next question. Thank you, guys. Here's the next question. That was good. Okay, the next question is, here comes another good one. The question is, should Christians, I got to say it the right way. Okay. Should Christians be for or against homosexuality? Excuse me. Let me say it right. I got it written down. I got to say it right. I'm saying it wrong. So it is, should Christians be for or against homosexuals?
Homosexuals or the act itself?
Homosexual. I'm sorry. You're right, Sister Barbara. The act itself, homosexuality.
Okay.
Should Christians be for or against homosexuality? Now, I got to tell y'all, there's a part two to this question, so just so you know. Go ahead, Sister Barbara.
Well, as you said earlier, which I was trying to find in the scripture, something Mother had said before, but God hates the sin, homosexuality, but he loves the sinner, the homosexual.
Right. Yes.
So
right.
We ought to love him or her. We don't have to have them around us. They're a lot of fun, though. But we still have to love them. We have to love them. We don't condone their sexual.
That's part two to the question. Go ahead.
But I didn't know, but we don't have to condone their sexual proclivities. Amen.
Right.
But they're
Amen.
Human. And to do anything less, we're judging them.
Come on now.
And that's a sin. That's a sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, should Christians be against homosexuality? Apostle Mother Wiggins, what do you think? Should Christians be against it?
Yes.
The act itself.
Yeah, we should because God didn't make Phil and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And another thing, too,
yes,
I want to say, we're supposed to be against what God is against.
That's
you know what
right.
I mean? Now, if God
That's
was
right.
for it, it would be just normal. We'd just be doing just the same thing, whatever God, you know what I'm saying? If it was normal, you know what I mean, then we would be doing it, you know what I'm saying? But God, we're supposed to be, if we're a Christian, we're supposed to be against whatever God is against. I mean, we can't say we for this and God is against it. You know what I'm saying? Well, what is that?
Yes,
you know
yes, I understand.
So
okay.
that's my answer.
Okay, Evangelist Hilda, did you get a chance to answer should Christians be against the act itself, homosexuality?
Well, if we for it, then we're just as guilty as the person is, and if we're against it, we're judging, and we're not supposed to judge. That's God's thing to judge people, not us. Wow, that's a good question.
Okay. If we ask the question, should Christians be against homosexuality, Christians should be against the act itself. That's why I'm glad that Sister Barbara brought that out. The
mm-hmm.
act or the person, talking about the act itself. And
mm-hmm.
yes, against the act itself, which is just another sin, okay? Just like lying, adultery, fornication, all of that, just another sin. So, yes, we should be against the sin. And just like Mother said, we're supposed to be against everything God goes against. And
mm-hmm.
he says that the act itself is an abomination. The person is not the person. It's the act. Okay,
right.
We're supposed to love on the person. And here's the thing. Sister Barbara touched basis on the second part of the question. She said, even though they're a lot of fun to be around, but no. So, and that's the second part of the question. Do we stop hanging out with them because they're in the act?
Excuse me?
Okay, the second part of the question is, do we stop hanging around homosexuality because of the act of homosexuality within that person? Do we stop hanging out with them because they're in that sense?
Well, let me say this. Unless you're in their bedroom or in the bathroom where they do this thing, you're not going to be around them while they're performing that act. Amen. So when they come out into the daylight, in quotations, you don't know where they've been. You don't know if they had sex that day, that minute, about to have it or anything. So,
okay.
Again, we don't know their habits.
Okay.
We just
okay.
know that this is an
I said the question wrong. So I got to rephrase the question so you can come at me another way. When I say that, I'm not talking about the act. I'm saying because they have announced to the world or made it known they are homosexual, do
some
Christians, well, the ones that do, and you know this for a fact, because some liars don't tell you they're a liar. Some adulterers don't tell you they're adulterers.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Some don't exhibit it.
The ones that have come out in the open and everybody knows for sure this is homosexual, should Christians continue to hang around them? What are your thoughts? I'm not saying what God is saying. I'm saying what are your thoughts based on what you know out of the Bible and everything else, but what are your thoughts about this?
Some people are weak, and if they're hanging around with, I'll just say, dirty rags, it's going to rub, as they say, if you wallow in the pig, you're going to come out muddy. So some people have minds such that if you're hanging out with a homosexual, your tendency is want to, oh, maybe I should try that, you know? And we are so bombarded with that. I think we were speaking about that on the line the other week or so, that everywhere you turn on TV, there's a homosexual in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
To the point that I was watching Cynthia Erivo last night, I think, and she's got this song out called Good, Good, Good. She's in there good, good, good with a female. I would have never thought that, what's the name from The Color Purple, is a lesbian, you know? And that's what it appears that she is. Showed her reclining with this female and, you know, didn't show him kissing, but it was in a way that you would think that this is her significant other.
So unless we are told or know, we can't judge, but we don't have to hang out with them if we are aware of it and we think that we might be influenced by it. But it's everywhere. They try to make it normal, and it's not normal. It's still an abomination.
Right.
The word of God
right.
has not changed. It's
That's
still
right.
an abomination.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, Pastor Rodriguez, what's your thought?
Well, I know you don't want to hear the Bible, but the Bible says that...
No, I want to hear whatever your thoughts are.
Yeah. The Bible says that how can two or three walk together if they're not in agreement with each other? Now, I'm not saying you should be, not loving towards people that are... homosexuals or lesbians or something like that. I'm gonna tell you, I have experience with lesbian women. You know what I mean? I don't look down on them or anything like that. But if they're around you, all they want to do is entice you to be with them. I'm telling you. And you have to get to a point where you say, well, listen, you know, this can't be here like this. You know, just stay away from me a bit. It's the stay away from me thing. And they could be even in Christ, and there's something going on with them. They love women. They like women. You know, and I think if you're near somebody that like women, it's best to try to stay away from them, because they'll be trying to entice you to half to death.
Okay.
Because they like women. Amen.
Okay. Amen. When you first answered the question, you said, how can two walk together unless they agree? And I would have chosen bad company does corrupt good company. I would have chosen that scripture rather than how can two walk together unless they agree. But thank you, Mother. Evangelist Hilda, before I give you all my input, Evangelist Hilda, what are your thoughts? Should we or should we not?
Well, not. But I can't say that because I have family members, and I'm not going to, not talk to them because of their lifestyle. I'm not going to stop loving them because of their lifestyle, but I don't have to be around them all the time. So I'm not, against them. I'm against the sin that they're in.
Okay, good. I'm going to go back to what Sister Barbara said, okay? Mm-hmm. Sister Barbara said there are some weak people that cannot be around them because they will take on that spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so because they take on that spirit, then that's not the avenue you're supposed to be around, okay?
Right.
So with any other sin, if you have a problem in that area and only you and God know, then that's an area you don't need to be in. Okay?
True.
I can be around homosexuals and talk to them and laugh with them and go about my business, and I promise you, they will not convert me. Now, the devil is going to try me just because I just do that in the atmosphere. But the devil is a liar. It's the same. I have had such an issue, and I think I told about this a long time ago. I had such an issue at home, such a, and God said, well, how am I going to use you? And I went, what? So they start coming at me left and right everywhere I went. I was like, what is going on? And it's only because God was saying to me, if you don't embrace them as people, I cannot use you as a pastor.
All right.
Because sin is sin, and I need you in order for me to use you to draw them to me. You may be around them at times.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sending you to the righteous. I'm sending you to the lost. How will you get to the lost? Sometimes you got to be in the midst.
Sometimes
you got to go where they are. But if you are that weak person that cannot be around a liar before you start lying, you cannot be around an adulterer before you start committing adultery. You cannot be around a thief before you start stealing. Then that's not the person God has called you to. You are not the one he's going to use to help draw them out of that thing. If that makes any sense. So
yes.
Are Christians supposed to be around them? God will let you know if you're not supposed to be the one that's around them.
Okay.
Because really he's trying to use all of us to bring in anybody that their ways of displeasing unto him. Even us, we do things that are ways of displeasing unto God. And so he'll send somebody our way to, A, remind us, number one, what are you doing? You're a pastor. What are you doing? You're an evangelist. What are you doing? You're an apostle. Come on now. And that reminds us either you going to step on this side of the fence or this side. You either hot or cold. There's no middle ground. So you can't tamper with the things of the world once you come in. That's God's thinking, right? Because once you stick your foot out there, the rest of your body is going to go where that foot just stepped to. That's why God said that, you know, to stay away from those things. But he's not saying stay away from people if you know that this is how they are. He does say good company or bad company corrupts good company. So that means if you hang out with them, and I'm talking not for the purpose of allowing them to know who God is through your lifestyle and your testimony, but just hanging out with them like, oh, it's cool, you know. No, because there are times that they're going to do things that is not funny, but you're still going to be laughing.
Yeah.
And if you're laughing, are you laughing because you're condoning it? So that's a very fine line. You've got to let the Holy Ghost instruct you whether or not you can be around them, whether God is using you in that arena or what. Me, I already know. He uses me in that arena. Why? Because I'm a pastor. There's no arena he doesn't use me in. And it took me a long time to figure that out. I was like, what the what? And I had all kind of stuff coming at me because God says, I don't know about anybody else, but since I was 12, God let me know I'm an end-time preacher. What that is, it's equivalent to a repentance pastor. If y'all listen to how I preach, that's all he gives me. And I'm going, oh, my God. But I still got to preach in love. I still got to go at everybody in love. Because if I don't go at them in love, then I become a judge. And I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just supposed to share the love of God. I know that I have friends. I have family members that are homosexuals or whatever. And the question to me, and it blew me out the water because I was like, what does that mean? You know, because at the time I wasn't where I'm at now. And so when they looked at me and said, so you're going to start loving me because I'm this way, I had a, you know, family members that was on drugs and stuff or, you know, had AIDS and stuff. And it was like, you're going to start loving me because of this. And I'm going, you know, at the time I wasn't where I am now. But guess what? I still looked at them and said, no, why would I stop loving you? And I wasn't even aware of the whole sin thing and being separated. I just knew I love everybody. So I'm not going to stop loving you because you're in that. Now, I don't want to be in it, and I may not want to be around you all the time.
Exactly.
But I'm not saying that I'm not going to separate. I'm going to separate myself, you know, just because I know this is what you are. Trust me. I know people that are adulterous. I know people that are liars. I know people that are thieves. I know all kinds of sinners.
We all do.
But I don't separate myself. I try to let the God in me, watch this now, I try to let the God in me bring me and them out. Did y'all hear what I said? Bring me and them out. Now, I might not be an adulterer. I might not be a thief. I might not be a liar. But there's other things I do. Like, I'll look at craziness and I'll start laughing, and that's not funny. Because I did it the other day, and I had to repent. Right? I said, let me look at this show with this 650-pound woman. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I started laughing. I said, look at all this junk. Won't stop eating. Now, I'm laughing at that, and it's not funny. Right? Because that woman or the man, it's a disorder that's making them eat
all the time.
Absolutely.
They're not functioning properly.
Right.
Right? So that's what I'm saying. There are things that I last heard, and God said, that's not funny, because that is a dysfunction for them. It's
yep,
a disorder.
It's a
she's lonely.
Yeah.
And then when the doctor looked at her and said, so you're 22, right? And she says, yeah. I said, oh, my God. And
yeah.
I just, you know, I said, 22? She means 64.
No.
And later on, I had to repent because I know, because I laughed at that situation, I know that God is going to send a really big person my way to see how I treat them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I looked at that, and when I say I was laughing, I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard. And then God had to let me see, no, that is not our way. Because everybody is beautiful in God's eyes, even
that's
the
right.
ones with disorders, dysfunctions, whatever, they are mm-hmm. all beautiful in God's eyes. And I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You see what
something
I'm saying?
May I say something?
Yeah. Yeah.
No judgment. But sometimes in those situations, you just have to change the channel or turn the TV off.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Sister Barbara, is that I was wrong because I purposely turn to that channel because I knew the 650-pound person was going to be on. So I turned to the channel. And in my mind, I'm saying, oh, I need a good laugh. Do you hear what I'm saying? I did it because I thought I needed a good laugh, and that was going to be funny.
No.
You
no.
see what I'm saying? So I was wrong.
It was intentional. Right.
Yeah, I did it intentionally.
What I'm saying is, excuse me, is that when we come across situations that are not necessarily intentional, that we come upon them by happenstance, sometimes, you know, instead of getting glued to it or giggling about it, we just change the channel or go read a book. You don't have to watch that.
Right. We
it's
should
a lot
change
of things.
The channel.
Yeah. It's
I
a lot. But if it was
here.
Intentional, that's what you wanted to see. That's what you wanted to get a giggle out of. And so you watched
it. Yeah, it was intentional. So that's why I'm saying that you don't stop being around people necessarily because of the sin they're in. That has to be between you and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will let you know whether or not you're strong enough to be in that around that situation or you're too weak. An alcoholic, how you going to go in a bar and try to convince somebody to come out? You may not be fully delivered. So it's the Holy Ghost that's telling you which arena you can go into. To, that God can use you to bring somebody out. It may not always be you to go in it. Well, I used to be an alcoholic. You may not be the person that God's using to bring the others out because God is saying, no, there's still some residue, so I don't want to send you in there. You know, the adulterer. No, you may still have a little bit of residue in you where you still like married men or you still like married women, and I can't use you to go in there. So you see what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost will let us know when we're going in an arena that God can use us in.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be every arena.
That's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
Now, God knows he cannot send me to somebody that's a shopaholic. He's looking at me going, how am I going to send you in there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still dealing with you, Kathy. And I go, okay, I can't help them right now. But I'm still shopping.
Yeah.
So something wrong with me because I don't stop shopping. And I've been asking God to help me, and he said, in order for me to help you, you got to really want my help. And right now, you don't really want my help, Kathy, because you're still on the shop network. You're still going to store. So I'm like, oh, this don't say, you know. So it takes God to show us which arena he wants us to go in so he can use us in that area. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to need you to close out for me because I got to go, okay? I love you guys. Thank you for all of your participation and all of your answers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love
you
guys.
Be encouraged.
Love you too.
Stay strong. Shalom.
Amen. Okay. Praise God. So if there's anybody out there, that one accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen.
Amen.
This is your time now. Amen. If you want to accept
Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. All you have to do is repeat this short prayer after me. Amen.
Amen.
Today I give you my heart, wash it, and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it, and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Yeshua, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Yeshua, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Now, if there's anybody out there that have said this short prayer, we welcome you, welcome you, welcome you into the body of Christ. And I know that all heaven is rejoicing over you. When you said that short prayer, the Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a church home, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the right church. Amen. Just
Amen.
Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. And so that you can hear the word, that you can have fellowship with other believers, that you can mature and grow in the word. Amen.
Amen.
So again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless
you. Too.
Yes. We love you.
God
and
bless you. See you tonight.
Okay. Praise God. So
amen.
We are going to leave out this word, and we will see each and every one again on next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. when we come with our sweet hour of prayer, and at 7 p.m. our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be with us with our Bible study, Talk Through the Bible. So God bless. Love you. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Amen.
Love you.
Enjoy
also.
It, Mother.
Love you.
Okay, you too. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Have
Mother.
A wonderful weekend.
You too.
You too.
Stay safe.
All right. You too.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.